Hello and welcome to the Waterways Ireland podcast series with me, Turtle Bunbury. In this series, we are exploring the rich history of Ireland's waterways from the beginning of recorded time to the present day. One of the sadder moments in the history of the Irish waterways took place in 1946 when the 45M barge sank in a gale in Lough Derg with the loss of three lives. The barge lay on the floor of Lough Derg for almost three decades, but when it was salvaged, it was found to be in impeccable condition, and it is a fabulous treasure in and of itself. I am delighted to have spoken with Susie Coote, who is the present owner of the 45M barge. Susie Coote, thank you very much for joining us. The first thing I want to ask Susie is to tell us about where you are speaking from, because I think you are somewhere down on Lough Derg, maybe the south end, maybe the County Clare side. Where are you?
I'm actually on the north end of Lough Derg, so I'm in Portumna at the moment.
Aha, right, okay. And you are very familiar with the lake. You go up and down it a lot. You live in Portumna or the south end?
Yep. I live aboard a barge. I have done since the middle of 2019. So I'm just up here acclimatizing to a new barge and getting some work done on it before I head south for the spring.
Brilliant. Okay, so on the water, you've been on since 2019. More power to you.
Yes.
And we're going to talk about the 45M, but I am interested in your connection to the water and indeed your father, David Coote. Mm. His connection, how far back have the Coots been on the water?
It was basically in the late 60s, my dad and a group of friends owned 39M, and they were originally moored at the butter factory near, I think it's Charlemont Street Bridge in Dublin. So a group of them owned 39M. So as a child, I grew up having weekends on 39M. 39M also had a Bollinger engine. So I was lulled to sleep by a Bollinger engine when I was a child.
By the lovely Bollinger engine. Mm. Excellent. Okay. And 39M, for those who don't know, because we are going to be talking about 45M, why are they called? What does that number mean?
So the number is a sequential number, I believe, and the M is for motorised. So you would have had B boats that were by traders. You would have had E boats, which were engine boats, or which were the boats used for maintaining the canal system. So the M boats would have been Grand Canal Company barges, 61 foot by 13 foot wide. And in the early 1900s, they would have started putting in Bollinger engines into them, and then they became M for motorised. So 39 is the 39th boat and M for motorised.
M for motorised. Okay, well, that's fairly straightforward. Mm. And how brilliant. So you were literally lulled to sleep at night by the Bollinger.
Yeah.
And did you travel, I mean, all over all the waterways? Where were you going?
Yeah, I believe we would have spent some time on the canals. We would have spent some time on Lough Derg. In the 1980s, my parents bought a house in Killaloe, so we ended up being based there. But on 39M, it would have been all roads. I remember as a child, pre-mobile phones, obviously, when we were travelling the canals, we used to go under bridges and we would write the time that we were out there on chalk so that mum would be able to find us wherever we ended up and bring us back. So we spent a lot of weekends on the barge. We were moored up in the top of Clun de Vaughan Bay on Lough Derg for a while, and we were moored in at the top of Carnado as well, as I believe. So all over the place, all over the waterways.
How magical. All right. Okay, well, and obviously it's had a lasting impact on you if you're now doing similar activities on the waters. Your dad, David, did he, I don't know what he was doing before he moved onto the waterways, but I do know that afterwards he ended up collecting a lot of bits and bobs from the waterways. Can you tell us about that collection?
Yeah, so he worked in the building trade. So he put roller shutter doors on factories, which caused him to travel all over the country. So whenever he was anywhere near a waterway or near boats or barges, he would pick up things. So he used to regularly pop into Tullamore, into the yard, and take things out of skips. And he ended up with quite a collection of documents, but also of barge bits. He had a huge collection of pieces, parts of Bollinger engines that he would have used to restore the engine in 45M. They're now with the Heritage Boat Association, and he would have collected them from all over the country.
Brilliant. Okay. And I know because a lot of his collection is now held at the Waterways Digital Archive, and I've seen it there. There's the canal logs that will tell you where all the barges were, what they were carrying when they were heading up and down the Shannon.
That's right, yeah.
There's records of lock keepers, their wages.
Yeah.
There's a lot of brochures from boat hire companies, and I think I read somewhere that your dad actually thought about going into the boat hire business. Is that, did I get that right?
Yeah, he did. At one stage, he was researching about whether he would set up a boat hire business, and he, my aunt was telling me recently about trips they used to do, going around seeing where they might be based and what land they would need to buy or rent to set that up. He never did do that, but again, we have a lovely collection of all of the old brochures from Emerald Star, Carrickcraft, and their predecessors, obviously.
Brilliant. Okay, well, what a great collection to have. Okay, so the 45M, we've established it's a motorized boat, a cargo boat built for the Grand Canal Company in 1928. It worked for just 17 years before she tragically sank on Loch Derg. And we're going to come back to that in a moment. But can you tell us a little bit about the boat's backstory? I've read that she operated as a hack boat. Again, I'm not sure what a hack boat is. What is a hack boat?
So my understanding is that she was leased by somebody who had her on the Barrow. I think we've two or three photographs of her in her working days, and they're all on the Barrow from what we can glean from the photographs. So she would have been leased out by a family typically, or by a group of men who would have run her, used her to move goods up and down the Barrow system at that stage.
This would have been in the 1930s.
Yeah, she was measured in Killaloe in 1928, and we have the document from that her kind of registration from that time.
Sorry, where was she built?
She was built by Vickers Limited in Dublin,
Mm-hmm.
and then she was measured in Killaloe, which we believe took part at the cathedral quayside just below the bridge, and they would have put known weights into the barges and then marked them. So 45M very characteristically has all of those marks on her bow and on her stern and on the rudder, and that would have then told them what weight the cargo load that they had on board was. So she was measured in inverted commas in Killaloe in 1928. Yeah.
Okay, and then as you say, she was leased out to somebody up and going the Barrow. What is that carrying? What, sugar, Guinness, or what would they have been transporting?
It looks like it was probably grains, just judging by the shape of the cargo that you have in the photographs. I don't think we have documentation of what she did carry, but it looked like it was potentially grains or sacks of wool or something like that. It was quite a high load, but quite a light load. The photographs of her with the loads of Guinness barrels on it, she would have had very, very little freeboard or very little distance between the water and the top of the deck of the boat.
Okay, right. So that would have been a less usual cargo. And what about turf? Would she have carried turf?
Yep, turf is another, yeah, turf. From the logs, from the Shannon Harbour logs, they were carrying everything from grains to turf to Guinness to coal to anything basically. They were the trains, they were the HGVs of the early 1920s, 1930s. So anything that needed to move from Dublin to Limerick went by barge on the canals.
Right, anything goes. There you go. All right, and then, well, then unfortunately, we then come to this awful, awful day in December, the 1st of December, 1946. Can you tell us the story of what happened that day?
Yeah, so the story goes that she was coming down the lake with a fully loaded cargo of Guinness barrels, and it was rough weather on the lake. So the crew pulled into Kilgarvan, and they took a break there.
Sorry, we're on Loch Derg.
We're on Loch Derg on the Shannon. So they would have come down the river from down the canal and then turned left, come down the river through Maelic Loch, down under Portumna Bridge. We're coming down the lake to Kilgarvan. They then carried on to Garry Kennedy, where they pulled in, and they met the St. James in Garry Kennedy. So the St. James is a bigger motorized boat, and they left under tow of the St. James from Garry Kennedy. So it was the 1st of December in 1946.
So the St. James was towing 45M because it needed that extra sort of drag to get on down.
Exactly. So the Bollander is not the shape of the boat really isn't designed for the lakes, and the Bollander is really not terribly powerful. So they would have needed the assistance of the St. James.
Okay, when the waves are getting choppy, yeah.
Exactly, to get through the waves and to get to Killaloe faster, I suppose. Their destination was Killaloe. And there's a point on Loch Derg which is known as Parker Point, where you get terrible crosswinds. So you effectively have a T junction, for all intents and purposes, where you've got the wind coming from the west to the east, from Scariff down to Dromineer Bay, and then north-south from Killaloe up to that point. And the story is that a wave swamped 45M, or she broke from the St. James and sank. Reading about it, it was initially thought that she was in about 100 feet of water, but when they went to raise her, she was actually in about 60 feet of water, so the very, very deep part of the lake, which I suppose is bad. Obviously, three men lost their lives. One man swam ashore and went to a local farmhouse to raise the alarm. But the good thing was that 45M was in deep, dark, muddy Loch Derg waters, which meant that when she was raised, she was in incredibly good condition and had been very well preserved by that muddy, murky, dark water at the depths of Loch Derg.
That's an extraordinary thing. So obviously it's, you know, a tremendous tragedy. As you say, three men lost their lives.
Yeah, so John Boland, Edward Gleeson and James McGrath were the three men that survived, and Tony Ennis swam ashore and raised the alarm at a local farmhouse. It's very interesting. Just last year was the 75th anniversary of the sinking of 45M. So I was contacted by a local man from the Ara Historical Society. And it was really interesting to hear the story of it from the land side, because we've always heard the lands at the kind of the boat side. And there's two theories about how Mr. Ennis arrived in the local house to raise the alarm.
Okay, so the ship lies at the bottom of Loch Derg for the next 29 years. And then, as you say, it's salvaged, and an amazing salvage operation, really. Donica Kennedy, who is he, and how has he sort of got involved in the story?
So Donica Kennedy is based in Carrick-on-Shannon, and he owned a company called Weaver Boats, and he had a number of M barges that he had converted into rental boats, effectively. Palo Alto, Sequoia were some of the barges he owned, and he knew of this hull, and he wanted to raise it, to go ahead and convert it into another rental barge.
He wanted the hull
to convert and put a houseboat on it, effectively, a very, very comfortable boats that you know with living quarters. His intention was to, I think, take the Ballander engine out and put in a more comfortable, easy to use engine. I should start. I'll tell you about how the Ballander engine is functioning a little bit later. So his intention was to raise it and convert it. And there's a fascinating interview with him on the Waterways Ireland website on the 45M page about him talking about, it took months. They started in March and kept going till June in terms of trying to find it and trying to work out how they would raise it. And they eventually tied barrels to the eyes on the hull and filled them with air to raise her up, and then moved her into the shore, and then raised her up again, moved her into the shore. So it was quite an operation. And there's an amazing film of it that was converted from cinefilm to digital that you can find if you Google raising a 45M. So it was quite an operation, but Dunica's intention was always to convert it.
So he must have been thrilled when he got her up, because as you say, the condition was pretty good.
Mm. She still had barrels on board. I believe the Guinness was tasted, but was not terribly pleasant at all. Hmm. The engine obviously was still there. She still, to this day, has the original stove, the original ladder that goes down into the front cabin. The Ballander engine obviously is the original. And they say that the Ballander engine started pretty much instant.
But how did the Ballander engine still work? I mean, is that a testament to Swedish engineering? That's amazing.
Yeah. I mean, in a way, it's a very simple engine in that there's not, you know, it's a single cylinder. There's not terribly many movable parts. And once you can get the water out of it, it started again very well. But I think, yes, I mean, the fact that it was had no light, there was no way that it was going to rust because there was no light, there was no oxygen. So that, I think, preserved it. But the tale is that once they towed her back to Carrick-on-Shannon, that the Ballander engine restarted with no problems at all.
Just flamed it up and off you go.
Flamed it up is right. So the Ballander engine is started by heating the head of the engine with a blow lamp. So you literally put a blow lamp onto the head of the engine, wait until it's very, very hot.
Amazing.
Give it a couple of squirts of diesel, and then get a very strong man to turn the flywheel to get up enough momentum for it to start. So it is I don't want to say it's cantankerous because it's a beautiful old engine, but it's not exactly the easiest engine to start. There is something lovely about being on a barge now that you can turn the key and the engine just roars into life. So there's a little bit of trickery to get the bollinger starting and getting the diesel in at the right time, getting the flywheel flying at the same time. So there's a very limited number of people who can start it, unfortunately. But
well, again, the power of the internet. I actually watched the BBC television series Three Men Go to Ireland in 2009. It was filmed with Griffiths Jones and Dar O'Brien and Rory McGrath, and it's great to see Griff having a go at trying to get it started. He struggles with it. He's pretty entertaining. He can't believe the boat has no brakes, no reverse. Sure, who needs a reverse? And I think they're all pretty staggered that the boat goes at the crazy speed of 2 miles an hour. Anyway, it was fun, fabulous to see. So, but what I think is remarkable is that by the time they'd salvaged the ship in 1975, it's been under for 30 years. But those are pivotal 30 years because, correct me if I'm wrong, Susie, but all the other barges that have been on the water, they've been sort of retired from service and demolished or converted into houseboats or something. And now suddenly the 45M, suddenly, well, she's quite unique.
I suppose probably more recent than that. An awful lot of the barges are being maintained by owners who have converted them, as I say, and by converting them, they're keeping them alive and they're keeping the hulls alive and they're keeping the history alive.
Sure.
Unfortunately, 45M is unique. There is one other barge that's not converted that has an engine in it, but unfortunately, it's not in any way workable. It's on the shores of Lochree in Gailey Bay, but it is quietly, unfortunately, rotting away there. The hull is very, very rusted. The engine, it's apparently all of the brass pieces off the engine are gone. Mm-hmm. There's one other boat on the Barrow and one other barge that has a bollinger in it. It's converted, so it has effectively a houseboat on it, but it does have the original engine. And one other member of the Heritage Boat Association, Ben Tracy, is about to put a bollinger engine back into a barge. So she won't be the only one for very long if Ben has anything to do with it.
Okay, well, very good. Well, that's what we want, really. But okay, but at the moment, it's the only original working barge in Ireland. Is that fair to say?
Yeah, it's the only one that has not been converted into a houseboat.
And do we know how many working barges there would have been on the waterways generally at the peak?
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know the exact number, but I do know that 79M was the last M barge to be built.
Okay.
So if you take that number of M barges and then your Bs and your Es, probably over 100.
Yeah, amazing. Right. Okay. Okay. So and how did your dad then end up with the boat?
A friend of Dad's, William Dick, told him somebody should keep one of those boats in its original state. So he took that as a challenge and went about doing that. He had bought 34M from a man called Martin Winston. And 34M had got concrete ballast in the bottom of it, which Dad was going to take out. And she had also got, I think she had been slightly converted, so Dad was going to rectify that and go about looking for a bollinger engine and all those kind of things. So I'm not quite sure how they got in contact with each other, but because Dad intended restoring the barge, whereas the other one, 45M, was going to be converted and had put concrete in it, they swapped the hulls. So it was a lovely note between Dad, signed by Dad and Donica Kennedy, agreeing to exchange the barges. So
lovely, a straight up swap.
Straight up swap, yeah, straight up swap. So in 1976, 45M came to our house. A lot of people have cars in garages. I grew up with a garage that was full of bollinger engine and bollinger engine parts, and the front wall of our house was covered with stacked wooden barrels from 45M.
Wow. Brilliant. Okay, you've had that in that's practically your postal address is 45M. I mean, it's been a big part of your life since the get-go.
It has been a big part of my life, yeah, yeah. And after she was restored, so the engine was in the garage at home and 45M was at Hazel Hatch while she was being restored.
Oh, yes, by the Thatch Pub.
Very close to that, yes. And I think in 1980, the engine was put back into the engine room and then she began to move around. And probably about 1983 was when my parents got the house in Killaloe. So about that time, early 1980s, she would have come back down the canal to be based out of Killaloe. And then she would have travelled around the lake. She was I spent a lot of time on her, obviously, growing up as a child. But then later in life, I used to take 45M myself with Rachel Leach. You had a Dutch barge that's single-handed, and we used to take the two barges off and go to Shannon Wunderzine regattas, or she was go to bargemen reunions in Banagher, or travel to various Heritage Boat Association events. So she was a very handy barge, because she was effectively a cargo barge, so she could bring things from A to B. She could carry a lot of people. She could, you know, great fun to use. And big part of my life, yes.
Brilliant. And that's why, well, it carried bricks and crystal and stout, as some of the listeners may be familiar if they remember the Waterways programme with Dick Warner in 1991, 92, with Dick and Declan Carney carrying a cargo from Dublin to Limerick. And so what is the future for the vessel now, Susie?
Yeah, it's a good question. So the intention is that she will always remain as a heritage object, that she will remain unconverted, that she will remain with her original Bollinger engine in it. We've just invested in her future. She was out of the water at Lakeside Marine in Athlone, having a large amount of steel work done. So effectively, we have future-proofed the hull for the next 30 years. I was extremely lucky to find a man named Kevin Foley, who is an absolute engine genius, and he has done a huge amount of work on the Bollinger engine over the last number of years. So the engine is running beautifully now. It's running better than it has in a very long time. The intention is to make her more accessible to people, so that people can see what the barges used to look like, so that people can kind of get a sense of what our articulated trucks of the 1930s looked like. And so we're working on getting some ballast into her, so that she is sitting down in the water a little bit more, because obviously she's got no cargo in it, so she sits quite high. Mm. We're also working on covering the hold, so the hold can be a usable space for exhibitions or talks or education sessions or information, or perhaps even having another Bollinger that people could see close up and see how they worked. So the intention is that she will maintain a heritage object. It's challenging owning a barge that I can't start myself. So I've never been able to start the engine, but I can teach other people how to. So that's suppose one thing.
Well, there you go. That's an important aspect. Well, listen, Susie, you're brilliant, and hats off to you for your role as custodian of, well, such an important, invaluable bit of waterways heritage. And thank you very much for coming on the podcast to tell us all about it.
Thank you very much.
Thank you for tuning into this episode of Waterways Through Time. You'll find more episodes on waterwaysireland.org or on Alexa, Spotify, Google, or wherever you get your podcasts. You'll find my archive of historical stories, mostly Irish, at turtlebunbury.com. My sincere thanks to series producer Ali Bunbury and technical producer Mary Burke.